Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Awaken to Wholeness Summit. I'm Val Salidker. I created the Awaken to Wholeness Summit because I know that our world is experiencing such a feeling of disconnect. And I believe it is so important for us to start asking those deeper questions about the essence and the nature of who we truly are, exploring our inner world, our outer world, and knowing that when we want to show up and be part of this shift in consciousness, be part of creating the wholeness within our world, that begins within. So I'm really excited today because we are going to go on a journey into self with two personal friends and mentors of mine, Dee Dee Furman and John Scotland. Dee Dee Furman is the founder of the Synthesis Center and the director of its training programs, which offers an internationally accredited transformational life coach certification program in person at various locations, soon in Florida, and via teleconference. The program is designed to train life coaches in the practice of the holistic, spiritually oriented psychology of psychosynthesis. We're going to learn all about that today. Dee Dee is a New York Times bestselling author, and her most recent book is Engaging Life, Living Well with Chronic Illness. She is currently editing the forthcoming book, which I'm very excited about, The Call of Self, Psychosynthesis Life Coaching. She's a psychotherapist and a board-certified coach. John Scotland is the president and senior trainer of the Synthesis Center. He's an adjunct professor at the Sophia University teaching transpersonal psychology for their graduate program. He's also a psychotherapist and a board-certified coach. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you, Belle. Nice to see you.
It's so wonderful to be with you again. I mean, I've had the blessing of training with you guys for many years, and now stepping into working together, you know, and just being able to create together. And it's just an honor to have both of you here and to be able to dive into the powerful work of psychosynthesis.
Yay!
Yay.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't think of anyone better to represent. So I want to start off actually by sharing a quote that's on the Synthesis Center website that really speaks to my heart. I think it's a great way to kind of get into what psychosynthesis is all about. All living things contain within them a drive to evolve, to become the fullest realization of themselves. This process can be supported consciously. Super simple, right? And psychosynthesis is such an amazing way, an amazing body of work, an amazing invitation into this conscious evolution of self. So let's talk a little bit about what psychosynthesis is. And I'd love to hear from both of you about how you came into your passion for this work.
Well, let me start as the senior trainer here. I discovered psychosynthesis in my mid-20s. And I didn't even have a BA at the time. And I discovered it through my cousin, who was a psychosynthesis author and authored some important books in the field. And it was like coming home, and I have never stopped. So it's been 40 years or more for me since I first took psychosynthesis in as my calling. And for all the years since then and all the studies I've done up through getting a doctorate and training in other fields and spiritual traditions, nothing has ever felt close enough to my heart and big enough an umbrella to hold how I view the world and how I see our unfoldment. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Beautiful. What about you, John?
So for me, I found my way into psychosynthesis. Originally, I would say I was very engaged in spiritual development and spiritual practices, doing meditation, mindfulness practice. And the thing that really excited me about psychosynthesis was, as soon as I started to study in the field of psychosynthesis, something resonated very strongly, because I've always been a person who has been kind of asking the big questions about meaning, personhood, and identity. And nobody was speaking to those things. And so I really had no conceptual framework growing up. I wish I had learned this work as a teenager, because I felt that there were so many different aspects to who I was, but the world kind of wanted to squeeze me into boxes or into parts of my personality. You know, the athlete, the scholar, you know, the romantic, all the different aspects of who I was. But there wasn't really some way that I knew of to synthesize and integrate all the different parts of who I was. So when I discovered psychosynthesis, it helped me just take a very inclusive look at my own self, and to include all the different aspects, and to feel like there was a central self that I was. And it gave me a sense of meaning. It helped me align with a sense of purpose. And I just felt a much freer way to express all of who I am in the world. So ever since, it's just been an unfolding path that keeps opening. That's the other thing I love about it. I mean, Didi's been doing the work for 40 years, but it's not a path that leads you to a finite point, like a period at the end of a sentence. It just brings you out into a more vast experience of your own aliveness and your own sense of self. And that's a life's journey. So it's just been a great platform for living and being and doing my work in the world.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. And I guess I should speak on that as well. What brought me into psychosynthesis?
Please.
You know, I've done a lot of different styles of work, and one thing sort of leads to the next. And similar to what you're saying, John, about, you know, recognizing the different ways that I've identified with myself, that having never really taken on the fullness of one of those smaller identities, I've never really tried to label myself. And I recognize that as a young age, like I'd get involved in like maybe the goth scene when I was younger, or this or that, or, you know, but I never called myself that because it felt too small. And I never had the full language to understand what that feeling was until I came to discover psychosynthesis. And I felt like the language of psychosynthesis really helped me understand connecting to that deeper sense of who I am. Yes, I am all of these things and so much more. So it's the both and that I fell in love with, really understanding that I can take on these identities and I can play in those worlds, and that who I am is so much larger than that. So it began there. And then, you know, just studying with both of you and on my own, and all the work that I've done, has really brought me into a deeper understanding of who I am and how I show up in the world. So beautiful. So now that we've talked about what brought us into it, we should probably talk about what it is.
Yes.
That's the great question. And it's always an interesting answer, isn't it? How do we
just... It is always an interesting answer. And it would be interesting for you to answer it first as our young generation trainer. And for me, the answer is always whatever rises up in the moment. There's not a set answer. So can I turn the tables and ask you to answer it first?
Thank you. I love that. So for me, psychosynthesis is an invitation for us to center into our deeper awareness of what is truly alive for us, and understand ourselves beyond the stories that we tell, beyond the stories that we sometimes attach ourselves to that keep us small or put us in states of despair when we lose touch with them. So it gives us a grounded sense of that thing that never changes in a really practical way. Even though it has this, you know, beautiful spiritual sense to it, there's a very grounded sense to it. So it lets us look at all the different ways that we play our lives and understand ourselves on that much deeper level. And it doesn't necessarily give all the answers. In fact, I think it asks more questions, which is the beauty of it. So it's this integration into wholeness that feeling of wholeness. And no matter what's happening outside of ourselves or even inside of ourselves emotionally, or has ever happened to us, like from different traumas or core wounds, we always can feel okay. Even if we're experiencing pain or sadness or anger or whatever's coming through, there's something deeper that's always okay. Yeah. And so for me, psychosynthesis reminds me of that on the deepest level.
That's pretty good. And I saw your body resonating.
Yeah.
With your hands and all the things and the coming back to the who that we are that is more than the story, that is aligned to purpose, meaning, and values, that is based in contentless, storyless awareness and will. And there's more.
Well, I guess what I would add to that is that psychosynthesis holds as a premise that there is a self, and there's a self that exists beyond all the content, you know, the things on your to-do list, beyond just your emotional responses in life, that there's a self and a call of self that you can learn to tune into and give expression to the truth of your own life and your own authenticity. And once you, in psychosynthesis, my sense has been that once you start to approach your life in that way, the self, I like to say the self wants out. Once you connect with that self, it wants to express more of who you are in the world. So that's a real important piece for me. The other thing I thought about was how psychosynthesis, by its very name, is about synthesis and integration. So it's really a theory and a framework for how individual parts of the self come together to create a larger whole. And then in a relationship, how two people come together and create a larger whole. And then in larger systems and communities and countries and as a planet, you know, it's really a technology and a system of integration and wholeness. So that's a real important piece, and it's the actual methods that I've appreciated, that there are, that Astor Gioli developed these methods and applications of using this work in one's own life. So it becomes like a living practice, something you can use in your daily life.
And let me take this moment to quote the founder of psychosynthesis, Roberto Astor Gioli. It's just a very short quote, but one that I love. He says, and he was starting psychosynthesis in 1910, just to put it in historical context. It was a while ago. He says, as a rule, we live life more or less as it comes. Yet the business of living is in reality an art and should be the greatest of all arts. So it is to the art of living that we dedicate our portion of this summit and our work in psychosynthesis.
Absolutely, and beautiful. And this process, you know, psychosynthesis is an invitation into self-realization, right? We talk about becoming self-actualized, understanding the sense of self, self-realization. Mm-hmm. And we do that through awareness and will, right? And so much in between, but these are like two main components, very important components of psychosynthesis. And as we love to do, Didi, I'd love for you to invite us as we've already begun this journey, but as we dive in even deeper into this journey of psychosynthesis today, to invite us into an exercise, an awareness exercise, to tune us in to what that really feels like when we talk about awareness.
I would be happy to do that. So wherever you are, sitting, standing, listening, watching, let yourself be just where you are. Notice for a moment where you are in your body, in the space you're in. And then notice that you are not the space. You are not the chair. You're the one who is aware of the chair, the space, the temperature in the room. Breathe in, I am aware. And then let whatever words want to fill in. I am aware of. And right now I am aware of. And in my body, I am aware of. And in my thoughts, I am aware of. Staying with awareness. Just letting it expand. Letting your very aware self expand. Way outside the boundaries of the room you're in. Outside to everyone you know. And to everyone you don't know. Expanding your awareness to parts of the planet that are in mourning. And in night, and in afternoon. And expanding your awareness to hold the planet itself. As if you are large enough in your awareness to hold that blue marble. And know that I am all of this. And breathing into that expansion. And letting yourself breathe back into the containment of one body, one lifetime for now. A set of stories that come along with you because they are your stories. Honoring and respecting all of those stories in their beauty, in their sadness or tragedy. And as you held the entire planet, imagine yourself now holding in the palm of your hands your own stories, your own history. And take that to your heart and notice, I am all of that and I am more. Breathing into the body that holds you. Breathing into the space that holds you. Opening your eyes if they've been closed. Bringing your attention from the inner world back into this lovely and important conversation. Thank you for traveling with me.
Thank you, Dee Dee. It's such an expanded sense of self. You know, I think our world tends to reinforce a sense of isolation and individualism. And, you know, something I love about this particular work is that it's not just talking or philosophizing, it's such an embodied experience. And when we feel it, we get it on a whole new level. Because we have a lot of ideas in our heads, right? We don't always live them or act them out into the world. When we start to experience this, even in these very simple visualizations and exercises and meditations, and it shifts us, you know, in our core.
And it shifts us inside and outside, because every time we grab a little larger piece of awareness, we are invited by ourselves, by the call of ourselves, to take that awareness into the world. For every in-breath that is awareness, the out-breath of will is required.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. So, you know, a language that we use in psychosynthesis around identification, disidentification, which you've been talking about, and self-identification. And I wanted to read something that Roberto Assagioli says about this work. And he talks about the harmonization and integration of all the qualities and functions of the individual into one functioning whole that is actively nurtured as the central purpose in psychosynthesis. You're kind of bringing it all together. And that the primary way for achieving this integration is through the process of disidentification from what controls us, coupled with a growing awareness of the deeper choice that comes from self-identification, the alignment of the personality with the self. And it's such an eloquent way of talking about how we become the observer. And I wondered if you could speak about that a little bit more. And even when we say the self, what are we talking about?
You want to take this, John?
Sure, I can jump in. So the place I'd start, Val, is to give the reference point that some people may already be familiar with in the summit, which is when you sit in meditation, you're essentially in a practice of awareness. You can be aware of your breath, and we're actually using our will to bring our attention to the breath. So it's an experience of awareness and will. And you can become aware of other content as well as the breath. So you can become aware of bodily sensations. You can become aware of thoughts. You can become aware of feelings and emotions. But in meditation, we don't attach ourselves to the content, right? We see the thoughts as passing clouds. We're aware of the soreness and sitting in meditation or wanting to get up and run out of the room. And we just notice all of those things. We return to the noticer again and again, the one who is aware. So right there, that's an example of the process of identification and then disidentification and identifying with the observer. So that's one aspect of the practice. The thing that's really fascinating about psychosynthesis, when I moved from spiritual meditative practice into the field of spiritual psychology, was to see the possibilities of doing the same work in a psychological context or with one's own personality. So in Assagioli identified and brought into the field the term subpersonalities. So we can see whole constructions of self, right? Like a perfectionist or a pleaser or a victim subpersonality we go into. There are all these different constructions of self that we can also see almost like passing aspects of who we are and identify them and then disidentify from them and return to the observer. So for instance, if I have a workaholic, if I can be a workaholic, my workaholic left unattended runs my day.
Oh, I'm a workaholic.
That's right. And I wonder, why am I still up at 11:30 stressed out? So in psychosynthesis, you identify with the whole construction of self too, like a subpersonality, a perfectionist, a workaholic, whatever it is. And, or even a role, a conscious role that we have, like parent or whatever it is, or musician. We can identify with aspects of who we are. And then we can disidentify and self-identify. Self-identify to me means recognizing I am the one who knows myself in these ways. I am the one who is in relationship to the content. And I am the one who chooses in relationship to the content. So there's nothing wrong with having a workaholic. The only problem is a workaholic unattended by self.
Right. Beautiful.
So I can, so rather than my workaholic having me, when I disidentify, I have an aspect that I can consciously employ to get a lot done in a day. I can say, you know what? I love working hard. I'm going to get a lot done today. And I can also disidentify and eat lunch with a friend and take 45 minutes instead of 20 minutes while I'm working. So it just opens up a lot more avenues for self-expression so that we're not controlled by any construction of self that maybe grew up over time as we were kids or over the course of a lifetime that, you know, serves us in many ways, but can eventually become limiting if we become identified with those aspects of self unconsciously.
And one of the things that happens in the process of this identification and disidentification and the movement to what Asa Jolie referred to very clearly as self-identification with a capital S, is that we tune into not only the capacity to observe and to will, but to the call of self and a sense of our own purpose, meaning, and values. So that when we have the subpersonalities that John mentioned running the show, they have a very small version of purpose. Get as many things done today as possible. When we identify, disidentify, and then self-identify, we come into alignment with a much larger sense of purpose that will allow us to hold deeper and bigger truths. Like, I value my friendships more than, you know, cleaning up another room. And therefore, we get to act willfully in relationship to highest values rather than limited messages.
Yeah, and it feels so important because I, you know, what's coming to me is the idea of sometimes when we identify too much with these sub-personalities, let's say, you know, someone is, and even the job that you do, okay, so somebody is, let's say, an athlete, and then as they get older, they're an athlete. Who are you? I'm an athlete, and that's it. Like, that's who I am. You come to a point where maybe your body isn't functioning the same way, or maybe you have an injury and you can't do that thing that you did. And all of a sudden, it's like you're flailing around in the dark asking the question, well, who am I? Because I'm an athlete and now I can't perform that role. So there's sort of this sense of despair and loss and a deeper sense of, you know, just not knowing who I am when who I am is labeled in a tinier job role or sub, you know, sub personality in that way.
Right. Yep. And you ask the big question, who am I? It's a question we keep asking. And when I ask it today, I don't want to know the answer. And I don't want it to be the answer I had yesterday or last year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because who we are is always evolving. We are deepening and just expanding in so many ways all the time. And to limit ourselves from that does a disservice to both ourselves and our world. You know, because when we really get who we are so powerfully unique. And that's how we are able to then step out and create shifts in the world just by being who we are.
Yeah.
And authenticity.
Yes. Yeah. 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 You know, we're probably not going to get much into the egg diagram today, which is Asa Jolie's map of the psyche, but it's such an inclusive framework of self because it represents both the transpersonal dimension, the highest aspects of who we are. When we get to identify there, knowing ourself and wisdom and serenity and peace, there's the egg diagram.
Yes.
In that upper section. And then we also get to identify in the places that feel sort of broken or hurting. And we can identify there too. It gives us a certain permission to visit throughout the entire experience of what it means to be human. Mm. And to not necessarily be unafraid, you know, take a lot of courage to experience our full humanness. But I think that, you know, I would say that psychosynthesis has given me more courage to be myself. Places I wouldn't have gone before. So that means a lot. Yeah. It allows more life to flow.
Yeah. It feels like we take on the role of, in a sense, the main role, like the conductor of the orchestra of personalities and sub-personalities. And as you were saying, John, how we can pull on that particular workaholic and put them to work for us in a healthy way when we're operating from that conductor role, so to speak, you know, and that one plays for a while and this one plays for a while, right? But if we only identify with the workaholic, then we lose all these different, you know, musical ways of expressing ourselves, right?
Beautiful.
And Val, your analogy is perfect, and we can take it one step further to the composer. Because the composer is the higher self.
Beautiful.
And the self embedded in personality, contentless awareness and will, is the conductor who is interpreting the composition and using all of her musicians to play that beautiful piece of music that is each of us.
That is so beautiful. I just want to savor that for a moment and really let it sink in. You know, this is what's possible for all of us. You know, we are that powerful when we take the time to become centered in who we really are and to ask these deeper questions and to, you know, jump into these exercises that allow us to sort of feel in our way into ourselves more, you know, on a daily, you know, on a daily level and a daily, you know, just acting out, diving into it daily. We are unstoppable. What we can create.
And when we do that clearly, we become part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Absolutely.
Whether it's internally, and we have two sub-personalities warring with each other, or externally in a world that is in duality, polarity, crisis.
Yeah. And the beauty of that too, like thinking about another aspect of psychosynthesis, you know, and when we become fully present to all these different aspects of ourselves. And right now I'm thinking about the psychological functions, you know, tapping into thought. I know she's going for the diagram.
Ta-da! It's bigger than the other one.
Yes, there it is. The star diagram. And these are the different psychological functions of thought, of emotion, that feeling sense, sensation and bodily experience, impulse, desire, imagination, and intuition. When we become fully present to all of that, which is another thing that psychosynthesis brings us into, is understanding ourselves within all of these different aspects. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit about that, because that's, there's so much empowerment when we understand where we're really, you know, powerful and where we're still working and where we tend towards and how we can work on the parts that we want to, you know, grow within ourselves.
And also how we want to be in the world, because some of us will sit in meditation in response to a global crisis. Others of us will jump on our bicycles and ride to the scene of the accident. And others will strategize and use thinking as a primary methodology for understanding how do we fix a problem. And somebody else will go and paint the solution. So as we come to know our psychological functions and ourselves centered in them, there may be work to do because we may be wounded in psychological functions, and that's something I talk about more in the masterclass. But as we find out what our gifts are within those functions, it also tells us how our will can operate in the world. And it will be different for every one of us. It'll be a unique configuration of all of those six psychological functions, led maybe by the, like in a piece of music, you know, sometimes the piano leads, sometimes the piccolo leads. So depending on who we are and how we come to know ourselves and claim these psychological functions, that will be our action in the world. The smallest action of getting up in the morning and the biggest action of changing the world.
Yes. John, did you want to add to that at all?
I think that was beautifully said.
Yeah.
just that the psychological functions really add to the richness of the experience of self, both in terms of knowing ourselves and self-expression.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so with psychosynthesis, you know, we're talking a lot about how we, because everything that we want to do in the world begins within, you know, as I was saying in our introduction, you know, and that's why I feel like this work is so important. And as I also have a question that I'd like us to explore, which is, how do we take this incredible body of work of psychosynthesis and allow it to inform us to, how do we let it speak to these uncertain times? What's happening in the world? You know, how does psychosynthesis ripple into the world?
Mm. Big question.
It's a big one, you know?
Yeah. And as you said, we have to start from within. And of course, for many of us, any kind of global issue brings out first reactivity. And yet what we have seen, I think through time immemorial, is that the people who address the crises of family or global crises from a centered position have more impact. They don't further the polarization. Mm-hmm. And by being able to understand what we don't like and claim some ownership for parts of us that are like that, we are then much more able to include the other side in conversation or debate or in action. It may be that we stand toe-to-toe with a different version of reality, but we do that without having shut ourselves off from the other person saying, I am not you. We yeah. may stand there and say, I won't let you cross this line, and I am also you.
Mm. Can I add to that, Val, just a bit?
Yes, John, please jump in.
Yeah, the way that I look at psychosynthesis in terms of the times that we're living in is that for me, it's such a beautiful design and overlay for responding to these times, because essentially it's addressing the problem of fragmentation and wholeness. How do we take that which is whole, whether it's a self, a community, a world, break it into parts, then become so identified with the parts that we forget the whole? And that's an internal process that happens intrapsychically, where I can become, I lose sense of my own greater wholeness in any given moment, and I get lost. I become a flight risk from myself. I like that phrase. And we become, and in a sense, in the larger world, we do the same thing. We fragment from each other. We lose sight of our larger organic wholeness. And we also become, each one of us is a flight risk from the larger unity that we are collectively. And so in psychosynthesis, I'm looking within myself, how do all the different parts of who I am, what's the synthesis and integration of that into a cohesive self? But then I, as a whole self, I'm just a part of a larger world. So I have to see myself both as whole and as a part of a larger whole. And when you get into that practice, it just invites connectivity. It invites I-thou relationships. And it's a very powerful vision for wholeness and for a future world where that's saner, more loving, more connected.
And there are a lot of people taking their psychosynthesis ground, the ground of their psychosynthesis understanding, into some real social activism. And there is an article that's just been up on our Facebook page, a wonderful article by Raul Canones Rosado on the dangers of disidentification in times of crisis like this. Because what I took home from his article was part of his message as a social activist his whole life, which is that really only the white middle class can afford the luxury of stepping back from the dangers that are very real in the world. And so premature disidentification is a risk, because even if we're disidentifying from the opposing side, there's the polarization. Mm-hmm. But if we are not saying, oh my God, the work that reconnects, if we're not saying, oh my God, I'm scared, I'm afraid for my grandchildren, if we're not saying and knowing as best we can, what is it like for the people who are being oppressed, then there's not much we can do about it until we know. And then when we know, as best we can, we can move into that self-identification with the action that wants to move forward in the world.
Absolutely. And you know, what's coming to me as we're talking about this is Joanna Macy's work that reconnects. And you know, we have Molly Young Brown, who co-authored Coming Back to Life with her about the work that reconnects. It's sort of the manual for that work, which I've been facilitating for, you know, almost 15 years, well over a decade. And so I did that first for many, many, many years, and still do. I just actually, 2 nights ago, facilitated a truth mandala, which is an invitation for us to feel deeply with our world, whatever's alive inside of us. So we explore our sadness and our anger or our emptiness. You know, we explore all of these things, our fear, and we do it in a ritual form. So it allows us to feel with our world. And the work of psychosynthesis and the maps of psychosynthesis married to the work that reconnects is so, it's so powerful. It has really brought it to life in that form of social activism, in really powerful tools. Yep. Of coming in first, grounding ourselves, feeling with, you know, what's happening with our role and how that becomes evidence of our deep interconnection with life. Mm. You know, and
let me just add, in case Molly doesn't add it in her interview, Molly has written one of the most important books on psychosynthesis, The Unfolding Self, and one that we use in all of our courses. So she carries, as the base for her social activism, psychosynthesis, and she carries social activism as the base for her psychosynthesis.
Exactly, which is how it resonates for me, having mm-hmm. the background. And then, you know, I also spent a year diving in with Bill Plotkin, who is another, like, he really has a foundation in this work that he's evolved in an ecological sense, bringing in mystery and wildness and nature therapy and, like, you know, bringing us that sense. So there's so much work that is built upon psychosynthesis as a powerful foundation, which is what drew me, really, the, you know, experiencing this in all these different forms and then going, I just really want to go right to the heart of it, you know? And that's what attracted me initially to this work. And then I found you, I found you because I knew Molly did, it's so funny how everything comes together, but I found you guys because I wanted to dive into the foundation and have a real solid sense of where all of this is springing from. Because it really is an evolving, living thing, psychosynthesis.
And you will carry it forward.
Next generation.
Mm-hmm. So everything, you know, all of this that we're talking about, and we touched on the will a bit, you know, starting off with understanding that self-realization is this, you know, awareness and the will to carry it through. And I think that psychosynthesis really evokes an individual's own will. You know, once we understand who we are, now we can start to take responsibility for ourselves in a whole new way. You know, one that really brings us into an empowered sense of the choices that we make. So it's a whole nother level of being able to carry this out. And yet so many of us, even when we have that intellectual understanding, struggle with doing what we know we need to do. We still battle with the will, don't we?
Or our sub-personalities capture the will.
Yes.
And because there's going to be a social activist sub-personality too that's going to say, do it all. Be everywhere there's a crisis. put all of your energy into everything. And then there's going to be another part that says, I'd like a nap. And so it is that awareness and will that allows us to then create our orchestra so that we have the will to act in the world in ways that don't burn us out, don't harm other people, and don't take us away from other things that are the call of self.
Yeah.
Like parenting.
Hmm.
Or gardening.
Yeah.
Or smiling.
That's great, Dee Dee. It makes me think about the will in all those ways. You know, there's the will to social activism. There's the will to joy. There's the will to beauty. There's the will to self-care. It's inviting the will and connecting with the will to give expression to all of who we are.
Yeah.
The will to all those things. It's waking up and starting the day by connecting with one's will and the power to choose.
Mm.
And as you mentioned, the will to all of those things, just a little more piece of the theory of the will that tells us about its wholeness is that Asa Julie talked about the will as having three aspects: good, strong, and skillful. And that too is a place we look for balance, because if we have a lot of strong will, but it's not so skillful, it's not going to work for us. And his very assumption that the will has to be good, that it has to be aligned with purpose, meaning, and values, sets the stage for empowered action in the world.
There it is. I mean, nice. we gain this deeper sense by doing this work about who we truly are. And then we want to act out our behaviors, our habits, you know, the patterns that we create for ourselves in our lives in ways that are fully in alignment with that deeper knowing, right? that deeper sense of who we are. Because there are so many times when we do something, we're like, why did I do that? Or that sub-personality hijacked, you know, acted out in this way that is, I know is not in alignment with who I am. And it's an ongoing conversation, isn't it?
A lot of self-forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And resetting the compass and doing a little better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Self-compassion.
Self-compassion. And also self-inquiry. Well, what is that entity coming up to try to pull me away? Like what are those words of self-sabotage? You know, what are these things that are coming to me?
Right. You know, and it also directs you back towards the transpersonal and towards the call of self and purpose, because when you connect with will, you could start your day by just asking yourself the question, what wants to be expressed through the living of my life today? And did I spend enough, you know, spending enough time with my kids, getting out in nature, writing that letter, connecting with people, going off in support of an important social cause and contributing to that, whatever it is. It makes it, and then we get to the end of the day and we realize that our will, in a sense, has attended to everything that matters to us. And you know, that's on a good day. And then, but then that's the process of, you know, just more practice with, that's why I said it's an ongoing practice of awareness and will.
And so as we're talking about this, John, you know what I'm thinking about?
Maybe an exercise?
Oh, I'm thinking about an exercise to give us an embodied sense of what this really looks like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So let's do one more short guided piece.
Beautiful.
And to begin, I would invite you into your own inner world again, as Dee Dee did in the beginning. Close your eyes if you like, or soften your gaze. And just come into your own contemplative space, connecting with self, grounding yourself and becoming present in the moment. Connect with yourself both as the person who is aware and the person who chooses. See yourself as awareness and will. And as you sit in awareness and will, let's your self, let something present itself to you that feels like some sort of next step in your life, something you would like to manifest. It can be very small. It can be grand. It could be as small as cleaning out the closet, or as grand as a new life direction, whatever it is. And it can be inner. It could be a quality, developing more patience or generosity, whatever it might be, or it can be outer, something you want to do. Learn to play the ukulele, whatever it is. Just let something present itself to you. The only requirement is that you actually have to want it and hear it as a true call. And watch out for any subpersonalities that think you should be identifying a better or more important objective or goal. Just whatever comes to you that has meaning for you is fine for this moment and perfect. So holding that, whatever that is for you, that you would like to manifest, holding that in your awareness, I'd like you to visualize and imagine yourself now and follow along with me, seeing yourself out in a field, a grassy field, a place that feels comfortable and settled. And looking off in the distance, you see a long and winding road or path that leads up towards a hilltop in the distance, far enough away that it's not right there, but not so far away that you can't get there. And I'd like you to connect whatever it is that you wish to manifest with that distant, the vision of that hilltop. And that the path is the path that you will move along towards whatever it is that you'd like to manifest. And now see yourself beginning to move on that path or dirt road or whatever it is that winds its way and begins to take you up towards that hill, where at the top of the hill we will arrive. And your will has set an intention to take you along this path towards what it is that you want to manifest in such a way that you have a clear sense of yourself as a willer moving towards your destination, towards what it is that matters to you, holds some meaning for you. Feel yourself in movement now, heading towards your direction. And as you do, because we know that no path, not all paths are just unimpeded, I want you to notice anything that might distract you from your path. Whether it's a thought, like I can't do this or I don't deserve it, or maybe a feeling, an emotion that arises within you. So it could be something internal. And if you notice anything like that, just recognize it, acknowledge it, don't fight it, but know that it can't actually stop you from moving along towards your destination. It may want some attention, it may want you to recognize it, and you can recognize it and hold both and, noticing whatever it is and continuing on as a willer towards your destination. And you may notice something that's external that may be an obstacle or a challenge in your path. So just see if anything presents itself. Maybe there's a herd of cows crossing the road if your path is in India or somewhere else where there are big herds of cows, even in Vermont, crossing the road. And notice that you might have to be a little patient, but that you will continue towards your destination. So as you encounter anything that is an obstacle or a distraction on the path, recognizing, attending to it, using your skillful will, and also with the strength of your will, knowing that you will continue on. and moving along, seeing that the top of the hill is now drawing closer, bringing yourself up to that area where you have reached the top of the hill, and find yourself a nice place to get comfortable, either sitting or standing, and recognize this place of destination that you are willing yourself towards, this thing that you wish to manifest. And at the top of the hill, there are qualities of the will, and I'm going to share some of those with you. And as I read them out, listen for any quality of the will that sounds meaningful or important to you that will support you in moving towards this thing that is your destination and will support your life, the movement of your life. As I read these, just listen for the one that feels important to you, and there may be more than one, because the will provides energy, intensity, and power. The will also allows us to access discipline, control, and mastery. Other qualities of the will: concentration, attention, focus, and one-pointedness. See if the qualities of the will that will support you have to do with determination, decisiveness, resoluteness, and commitment. And then just a couple of others to consider while you're there on the top of that hill. The qualities of the will include persistence, endurance, patience, and initiative, courage, motivation, and daring. And then Acciaiuoli noted, at perhaps the highest level of development, the will also lead to a sense of organization, integration, synthesis, and as one of our students said this week, surrender. So take the quality or the one or two qualities that feel like they will support you in your life right now. Bring it inside of you as a gift that you've received at the top of the hill. And then note that the path leads all the way back to where you began. And you start your way back down that path, pausing for a moment to look back at the hill that is your destination, knowing that your will has the capacity to move you there with the support of the quality that you have received today. And let yourself just very easily start your walk back down that path, staying connected to the top of the hill, but walking back down towards where you started. If there were any obstacles on the way up, you may see them on the way down. If you had to step over a branch in the road, it might still be there. Find your way back on down, all the way until you get back to where you began in that field. And when you reach the field, sense the presence of your quality that is an aspect of your will, an emerging quality of will. And then turn one more time to look along out that road towards the top of the hill and stay connected both to your destination and to where you are now. And resting in awareness and will, allow yourself to gently open your eyes again and to come back into connection with all of us here at the summit and with me and Dee Dee and Val.
It's such an invitation, you know, to ask ourselves, what are those obstacles? What are those seeming obstacles that present themselves to us? And I love the invitation to the quality, you know, what like immediately what attracts us and how we feel that we are shaping, we are choosing to shape our will. You know, that's really beautiful, beautiful visualization. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you either of you have any final thoughts on just sharing this incredible work of psychosynthesis or anything else that wants to come through for everyone listening?
I love you, Val.
I love you too, Dee. And I love you, Dawn. I mean, really, this is our team. It's so beautiful. So happy to be here with you guys. So we've covered a lot. We've touched on a lot, I should say. You know, and within each of these concepts that we presented today, there's a world of exploration, and there's so much more within this body of work. Dee Dee, you know, we talked about the psychological functions, and we're so blessed to have a masterclass that you're doing for our upgraded package. If anybody wants to, you know, purchase that and own all of the videos and audios, it's going to come with some incredible masterclasses, including a deep dive into understanding the star diagram and the psychological function. So thank you for that offering. That's there for everyone. And we also have a free gift that you guys are donating, which is a PDF with tons of great exercises and information. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's called Awaken, and it is a combination of exercises that are classic psychosynthesis exercises and writing that John and I have done in various places on various themes. But it will take us through, it'll give you, the doer of the exercises, your own time and space to explore the various things, whether it's the will, choice for change is one of the exercises, or the call of self, connecting to purpose. So it's a real hands-on, literally hands-on, a pen and paper.
That's awesome. So everybody, you know, you guys can all download that for free. That's an offering for everyone that's taking part in the summit. That is there for us so we can just learn a little more about ourselves, ourself with a capital S.
Yes.
So, and I'm very excited to share that we are going to have a program to dive into this transformational life coaching that's going to be here in Florida. It's also a teleconference, so people can attend from anywhere. Though we'll have 2 weekends of live trainings throughout about 10 months. And I'm going to be teaching that along with both of you and Alyssa Whitehouse. Be joining us. So we're going to have an amazing team for that. So if anybody feels called to this work, this is an incredible invitation to dive into this work for yourself first and foremost, to really get acquainted with this and bringing psychosynthesis into your daily life and experiencing how deep it goes, the capacity within ourselves, and also to gain the tools to become a guide, a psychosynthesis guide, and even a board certified guide. At the end of it, you'll have enough hours to qualify to take your board exams and become a board certified coach in psychosynthesis work. So I'm very excited about that. And everybody who's part of the summit is now part of my list. So you'll find out more about that if that's interesting to anyone. So exciting, you guys. So much here. And I'm just so grateful that we could do this today, because I feel like our inner world and our outer world really needs this kind of deep inquiry. You know, the amazing invitation that psychosynthesis brings for all of us. So
thank you for being the leader that you are, who will help all of us continue that work.
Absolutely. Thank you for making this work and what everybody else is bringing to the summit so widely available. You know, you just open up new audiences all the time. So thank you for your work.
Thank you, you guys. It's important. You know, that's the only way that we can move forward, is to really understand that there are so many tools for us, and we just have to take a moment to pause, find out what speaks to us, what's the language that we connect with, and ask those deeper questions so we can show up powerfully. You know, because at the end of our lives, we want to be able to look back and say, I lived. I fully lived. And that's what this is about, you know, connecting with ourselves. Creating a world that's powerful, connected, compassionate, and alive for our future generations. So here we are, all of us in this together. Thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you both.